We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
Let me encourage you this evening to do a couple of things. First of all, if you have a Bible, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The song selection tonight was incredible, amen? Just right to the heart and really sets the tone for where we are this evening, where we find ourselves tonight here at the Lord's table. And isn't that just what we're here to do, amen? We are here because of Jesus Christ. Tonight is all about Him. And we're here tonight not only because of Christ, and we not only celebrate and commemorate this special and sacred time, but we also come tonight because we realize that we don't want this just to be a religious practice, do we? This isn't just something that, you know, this is what we do when we go to church. We just take communion. And this was the problem at the church at Corinth. Every time it's communion in our church, except maybe with the exception of when we do it around Easter, I'm always finding myself begging God to help me see something fresh and for the first time as I go over these passages. And so tonight, I just want to draw our attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, to where Paul is instructing the church about the very nature and reason of why we're doing what we're about to do tonight. So if you guys are in 1 Corinthians 11, would you say amen? Paul said, I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was, what's that word say? Betrayed. Remember that. The same night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And then after the same manner, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it, church, in remembrance of me. You don't need to speak in tongues. You can speak loud, okay? Remembrance of me. Okay, in what? Remembrance of me, okay? Now, notice, okay, now here is the presentation of the gospel in verse 26. This is a reminder. Notice, as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, what are we doing? We're showing the Lord's death, what? Okay, we were singing the song Cornerstone, and the last stanza. Remember the last stanza? Remember how it goes? When he comes with trumpet sound, oh, may I then, what? In him be found. Until then, we want to be faithful. Amen, church? Okay, verse 27. So whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood, but let a man do something. Examine himself. And the purpose of examination is participation. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. The church in Corinth, that is like the worst nightmare for a pastor to be pastor of the church of Corinth, all right? You were going to pick a church, you would not pick Corinth. You'd pick maybe Ephesus or Philippi or Thessalonica, or you just would not pick Corinth. Corinth was riddled with issues. And Paul comes in this first letter. The church was so bad he had to write two long letters. Can you imagine? He writes to the church because they were totally missing the point of the communion service. If you just go back a few verses, and I'm not going to read them all tonight for time's sake, because all three pastors are preaching a sermon tonight. Or not really. Just wanted to make sure you're with me, okay? Paul was chastising the church for their whole attitude and mindset concerning the Lord's table. In fact, it was so bad, if you look, he's basically saying, if you're going to come to church and act the way you're acting and eat the way you're eating and be foolish the way you're being foolish, you know what he says? You might as well stay home. Don't come and act out in the house of the Lord. The focus of the Savior was being missed. The emphasis of this time was being overlooked. He was reminding them that the focus of communion is the Savior, His suffering, His surrender, the cross work of Christ Jesus, our salvation, church. And so this supper tonight, although it's not much, right? You have to understand in Old Testament times and then in New, when Jesus was instituting the New Covenant, there would have been a full dinner. And there would have been all different sorts of things on the table. In fact, one of the goals of the pastoral staff in the years to come is to actually set one of these up so we can actually see it and partake in it and walk you through. There's actually like seven cups on the table. So when Jesus takes one of the cup, it's the third cup. I mean, there's so much here that's actually taking place. But this supper was significant for another reason. Because all the way back in Matthew, now if you want to turn there, you can, but all the way back over in Matthew chapter 26, where the institution of the Lord's Supper as we know it now is beginning to happen, Jesus sits his men down, they have the Last Supper, and he sets into motion a time when there would be no longer a need for a Last Supper, because normally there would be a lamb on the table, but when the Last Supper was happening, there was the Lamb of God at the table. Okay? And so Jesus was instituting and implementing a time when there would no longer be a Last Supper, but this supper tonight, this time of remembrance, is just that. It is a supper of remembrance, a time of remembrance. It is a time of reflection and a moment for us as God's people to look back to Calvary and say, Hallelujah! Amen? The Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. And the supper in Matthew takes place shortly thereafter. Jesus leaves dinner with his men, and he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. And does anybody know what he does there? Do you know? He prays. And the Bible says that he takes the cup. What is that symbolic of? The cup is symbolic of God's wrath that was soon to be poured out. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 26, he's praying and he says, I'm exceedingly sorrowful in verse 38. And he falls on his face in verse 39 and he says, Father, if it's possible, let this cup, what? Pass. Now, church, I want you to see this. Nevertheless, not as I will, but what? I have entitled this message, A Supper of Surrender. A Supper of Surrender. Jesus knew the very night he was betrayed. There's no mistake why Paul put that in there. He knew full well what was coming. And the fact that the moments before this prayer, he was having supper, gives us insight into the fact that as he's passing the bread and he's passing the cup and he's talking to his disciples, prior to coming to the table, Jesus had already surrendered himself, hadn't he? He was implementing a new covenant. He was symbolically setting up that which was to come, but his prayer after dinner sealed his next steps. The steps to the cross, the steps to suffering, and the steps that in the end brought you and I salvation. And I think there is grave danger in failing to see the importance of the supper and forgetting why we are here, to let it become ritualistic, and to forget that it was a supper of surrender, that Jesus came to the table having already in his heart knowing what was to come and saying, Lord, I'm ready to do this now. And prior to going to the cross, Jesus made it clear, didn't he? He said, I lay my life down, right? I'm willing to sacrifice for the sins of man. He willingly did what only he could do. So the supper was to serve as a reminder to the church to never forget what he has done. Do it too often and it loses its specialness. Do it too infrequently and we forget the significance. So in verse 26, it just says, for as oft as you do this. It doesn't say when or what time or where at. It just says, for when you do it. This is why we do it periodically throughout the church and strategically planned, and we make the whole night about it. We don't just want to tack it on to the end of a service. There's something significant, special, and sacred about what we're doing tonight. The supper tonight is a reminder, friends, to every believer, and if you're a believer, let the children of the Lord say so. Okay. To every believer, that when we come to the table, we all got here the same way. Amen? Aren't you glad you're not under the Old Testament sacrificial system? Aren't you glad you weren't dragging goats and heifers and turtle doves and everything else into the building tonight? Some of you would need a small farm before you could partake of communion tonight. But praise God, Hebrews said that this man, after he made a sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. One lamb, one sacrifice. We all get here the same way. Salvation by grace through faith. And that when we partake in a worthy manner. We're not disrespectful. We are reverent and we are serious-minded, but we are also in a celebratory nature in our spirit, thanking God for what has happened, meaning that we have searched our heart tonight. As Paul said, we are making sure that before we are given the elements, that our conscience is cleansed, that there's nothing having an offense between God and man, that we're right as we can be, and that we have sought the Lord for forgiveness, and that in the Lord's Supper, we share in the life of Christ. You see, Christ gave His life for us, and that means two things. He gave His body, and what was the second thing? Come on, guys. Gave His blood, right? Okay, those are what the two elements are. Are we all on the same page? Okay. I thought my pastors would have spoke up, but they said nothing. Guys, Monday morning staff meeting, okay? So what did He give? He gave His... Come on, I already gave you the answer. It's an open book test, guys. He gave His... And He gave His... Okay, great, great. Just checking. And when He gave His blood, how many of you know that Leviticus says life is in the blood? So He gave His life, and then He gave His body. When the Bible says He gave His body, He didn't just give His life, but He gave His living. He lived unto the Father. And He fully, now get this, He fully surrendered. You know the old hymn, I surrender all. We usually should sing that differently, shouldn't we? I surrender some. Here's what Paul said about Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but He made Himself of no reputation. By the way, this to me is one of the ultimate mission verses. This was Jesus leaving the home in heaven, left His home, and came to a foreign place. Made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. He became obedient unto death, even, say it, the death of the cross. Do you know what communion is? It is remembering that your slate has been cleared by Jesus Christ. And it's a reminder to live this new life in light of your slate being cleared because of Jesus. We come and we review our walk and we talk to the Lord and we partake in communion and we are reminded that we can live differently because of Christ. Christ was our atoning sacrifice. Our debt was paid. And some of us were in a lot of debt, weren't we? We are free. Free to live the life Christ has given us. We are called, friends, to be a living sacrifice. To remember that the old man is dead and gone, and that Christ not only lives in us, but He is now to live through us. Here is the thing we need to think on now. Christ is calling us tonight to do something, and that is to surrender. As much as this was a supper of surrender for Jesus, it's also a reminder of the fact that we, in order to live this life, this Christian life, we too have to live a surrendered life. Did you guys know that? That we need to yield our life to Christ. You see, when your will and God's will intersect and cross paths, your will must die. You must surrender to His. And we find ourselves at times in our lives praying the same thing Jesus prayed. Oh Lord, not my will, but what? Yours be done. We cannot live this new life until we have surrendered. A life lived in surrender is a life that will experience the power of Christ flowing through us and in us. We must remember that when we come to the table tonight, the menu and the meal is not about us. This is about Jesus. This is about the new life in us. And that we follow His example. And that we surrender ourselves to His will. And we yield to Him. And we remember three things. Here's the first one. we remember tonight that we have been rescued. We've been rescued. God pursued us relentlessly. He would not leave you alone. You know why? Because that's the God we have. He loves us and He's after us. And you look back over your life and you see there were times and moments when God was sending people and circumstances and situations into your life, and He loved you so much that He would not let up until you became His child. And He rescued you. And He loves you unconditionally. And He rescued us in sin. Even when we were His enemies, the Bible says. Number two, we remember tonight that we have been redeemed. Redeemed. He ransomed us and He released us from the chains of sin and death. Do you know tonight that in Jesus Christ, you are a free man and a free woman? Let me say it this way. We think in America, we're free. Whether they take all of our freedoms in this country or not, we are still free in Jesus Christ. Our brothers and sisters in a foreign country who do not have the freedoms we have, do not pine away and think, oh, I can't share my faith. They are free in Jesus. They're free. Let no one tell you, well, you know, in America, we're losing our freedoms. You're a born-again believer. Nobody can take your freedom from you. Christ purchased you. He owned you. He bought you and He brought you into a right relationship with the Father. We have been reconciled tonight. We've been redeemed. And God says, I own you. You're mine. Number three, remember that we've been regenerated to make new. There's been a rebirth. Amen? You've been born. Oh, come on. You've been born again. Born again, made spiritually alive. We have been rebirthed, and this rebirth refits us for heaven. You guys understand that? Because you couldn't go to heaven until you've been born again. You guys get that, right? So your rebirth refits you for an eternity in heaven. And the only way you get in is because of Jesus Christ. A radical change has occurred within us. The life of Christ dwells within us in the form of the Holy Spirit. And the evidence of this change and this new life is to be displayed through us and to those around us. How do people know we're saved? By watching how we live, not just what we say. Just because we partake in communion doesn't make us saved. It's living the Christ life that demonstrates that we're saved. Regeneration sets in motion the process of sanctification and the new call on our life to fulfill the purpose that God has for us to regularly surrender so that our will stays yielded to His plans and His purposes for our life. Paul said it this way, I die daily. I got a funny question for you guys. How was your spiritual yielding, or should I say it this way, how was your death this last week? How was dying to self looking for you last week? Was it dying to self or indulging self last week, last month? This is what we're here for. This is the supper of surrender. This is where we come back and it all makes sense at the table, right? It all adds up at the table because we realize it's not about me and my problems and my sickness or my issues or my past. It's about Jesus and this new life and what it is He has planned for me. So tonight, as we now prepare to partake, maybe we need to look at the table with some freshness to see that we need to share in this supper with the full intention of, Lord, I surrender tonight. Being reminded of Christ's surrender first, then the sacrifice. Because isn't that how it worked? There's no sacrifice without surrender. There's no sacrifice without surrender. You guys know how this works. We say surrender in here. We tell the Lord, okay, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. We come to the table, but the reality of our commitment must be lived out in the Garden of Gethsemane. The reality of our statement when we say, Lord, I'm coming and I want to partake and I'm grateful and I yield myself to you tonight. The reality of that decision is lived out when you are tested and tempted this coming week. Right, church? And you are reminded, I met the Lord at the table of grace. And Lord, I need your strength to live this life, not my own. I need your power to flow through me, not my own. I need my will to be wrapped up in your will. It's only by surrender that we find strength. Pastor Micah did a great job last week and talked about how God's strength in us is made perfect in our weakness. And you never experience that until you die to yourself. Until you quit trying to manipulate and manage and control and say, Lord, I'm yielding to you. So I invite us for the next few moments to reflect and remember. Notice as it says in verse 28, so let a man examine himself. We are not here tonight to have some sort of kind of morbid introspection. How many of you know that we all have some things we just need to seek the Lord on tonight? Amen? And so tonight, the purpose of this examination time where we just connect with the Lord here in these next few moments of quiet meditation and reflection is for us to just maybe come to the table in our hearts and say, Lord, before I partake, I want to surrender myself again. I want to recommit myself to you again. I want to rejoice in what you've done. And I want to be reminded in this coming week that I too, as I share in your life, I too will need to make some sacrifices. I too need to come to the supper of surrender. Let's bow for prayer. I want us to just take a few moments now and allow our hearts to be tender to the voice of the Spirit. Seek the Lord now in this quiet moment. Quiet moment, may I speak to those of you who may be here tonight who don't understand what it means to be a believer. You've never put your faith in Jesus. You're not redeemed yet. I want you to know it's not too late. This meal, this supper, this symbolic dinner that we're having tonight, it's only for people in the family. God wants you in the family. I met with a young lady this week for church membership. She got saved about 4 weeks ago. She's just so bubbly and excited and just expressed to me how grateful she is now to know the love of God. I said, I wish I could take that, the essence of your excitement, and share that, because so many people need to know that. And if you're here tonight and you don't know that, friend, listen to me. Jesus Christ went to the cross because he loves you. For God so loved the world. Do you know that tonight? And despite your sin, and despite your wickedness, he says, come, be my child. I've made a way for you. I've made a way for you. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Cry out to Him tonight. Make Him the Lord of your life. And then you too can find a seat at the table of grace. And by the way, there's always room for one more. There's always room for one more. And to the believers tonight, to the Christians, and I just encourage you, living the Christian life, it is not a cakewalk. It's not a picnic. God has a call on our life to live a life that is pleasing to Him. And sometimes that's going to collide violently with your will. It's going to change how you live, change how you speak, change how you interact, change how you spend your money. It's going to change everything about you. And there's going to be a war. And the supper tonight reminds us that it's only because of Jesus Christ that we are victors, and that we surrender to Him and we find the strength that we need to live this new life in Christ. So examine your heart tonight. Ask the Lord to seek you, to know you. Confess to Him anything that may be harbored in your heart or hidden. The purpose of this time is to say, Lord, I want to partake. I don't want to not partake. I want to partake. Lord Jesus, we come to You now and we thank You for the reminder. For as oft as we do this tonight, about to do, for as oft as we do this now, we're reminded of Your life, Your body and Your blood, Your life and Your living, laid down, sacrificed. You bought us and You brought us to the Father. And we're grateful, Lord, and we're thankful. Help us, Lord, to understand that this is a supper of celebration. This is a supper of thanksgiving. This is a supper of remembrance, but it is also a supper where we need to say, Lord, I surrender. I surrender too. I give You my life. Take the reins, take control, and help me to yield, to know that You know what's best. Thank You, Lord, for this special time. In Christ's name we pray, and together God's people said, amen. And tonight, we are going to do something different as we move into the actual time where we distribute the elements. I have invited Pastor Micah and Pastor Denver to come. And this week we were praying and thinking about this night. And I've asked them for Pastor Micah to come first in just a moment to share his thoughts and reflections and what the body of Christ means to him. And then he's going to pray a prayer of thanksgiving. We'll distribute the bread tonight. We'll eat in unison. And then Pastor Denver's going to come, and he's going to talk about for a few moments, and we do mean a few moments to share about the blood of Christ and what it means to him, and to then lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving for the blood. And then together we will partake of the elements. And then Pastor Chad will come at the end, and he will lead us in a closing hymn. Please know that these elements, they don't save us. Amen, church? They're symbolic. As I've mentioned tonight, this is a family meal. Wait until everyone has been served and until Pastor Micah and Pastor Denver instruct you. We'll eat together in unison. And so at this time, I invite Pastor Micah to come.
As we come before the communion table tonight, I appreciate the fact that we're taking time to not hurry, to hone in on what I've been asked to, this first element of the bread. As we commune here together, this is what we're doing by partaking of these elements, remembering the sacrifice that the Lord gave in His body, what He is that He gave for us. The bread, of course, representing his body, and we're going to think upon that and dwell upon that. We read a moment ago that the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." As I dwell and think upon the body of Christ, I can't help but in my mind to imagine what that scene must have been like. And people have tried to do justice to it, and I suppose there's no way anyone could do justice to that moment of our Savior being bruised, battered, broken, whipped, ridiculed, humiliated. Isaiah said, it's by those very stripes that we are healed. Yes. We are saved because he suffered in our place. He suffered in my place. Those nails that were driven through his hands, it's been well said, but it should be received once again. They should have been in through my hands. And the beating that he took should have been my beating. And the humiliation that he endured, that's my shame. It's my humiliation. Isaiah said he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Some 700 years later, Luke in the book of Acts fulfills this as he says he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. And then as we move to the book of Revelation, Scripture says he looked for someone who was worthy. And he said, worthy is the Lamb. Yes. Worthy is the Lamb that was sacrificed and that was slain. You see, in God's economy, sin has to be paid for. And without the shedding of blood, without that broken body, there is no remission of sin. Can you picture him on the cross? And visualize his suffering, carrying that cross down the Via Dolorosa, being tied to a whipping post, and that body being bruised and battered and beat again and again and again. We sang about it a moment ago. It was my death you died. It's my body that should have been abused in that fashion. Ever since I was a boy, when I've taken communion and been a part of the Lord's Supper, I've closed my eyes and tried to imagine, just as only I can only imagine what a whip would feel like on my back. As I pray and I just thank him for the sacrifice. You see, all of us have been in scenarios that if we knew what was going to happen, it was actually going to happen, we'd have found a way out of it. Right? We've all been there, right? If I had known this was going to happen this way, we play these games in our mind, right? If I had only done this, or this had happened, that had happened. Jesus knew it all and went anyway. Knew all of the pain and went anyway for me, for you, for the world. Sacrificed and slain for us because he's worthy. He's all sufficient. His body broken. It's important for us to visualize his body, for us to visualize his sacrifice, for us to understand that body should have been ours, but it was broken and bruised and battered for us. Worthy is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. He's worthy. Would you allow me to lead you in a word of prayer? Thanksgiving for the body of Christ. Heavenly Father, oh gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. That should have been me. You took my place. Every whip, every hammer of the nail, that body that was bruised and battered, that was broken. God, we give you thanks. And we pray that in giving thanks, that it would be more than an emotional experience, but that it would drive us to a further passionate experience with you. Would drive us to worship you, that it would drive us to tell others about you. You've said in your word you want for us to remember, so we take this night and we remember your body. We give you thanks for it as we take time now in this communion service. In Jesus' name we pray. Scripture says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." At this time, I will ask Pastor Denver to come as we will examine the precious blood of Christ that was given on our behalf.
You know, this is a time of commemoration, but it's also a time of thanksgiving. Amen. There's power in the blood. My mind went right to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. "For as much as you know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." We're not redeemed by anything other than the precious blood of Jesus Christ. His body was beaten and bruised, but His blood had to be spilled. His blood, I think of several things. His blood was, by His blood, we are redeemed. As Pastor said, we're brought back into fellowship with Creator God. Amen? I mean, we come to these moments, a time of communion as a fellowship, and we're thankful that He shed His blood for us. also by His blood we are cleansed. The Bible says that it cleanseth from all sin. I'm thankful that my sins are forgiven. They're washed away because He willingly came and went to the cross and shed His blood for me. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. It was not just shed by any person. It was shed by the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen? Let's say it together. Worthy is the Lamb. By His blood, check this out, we are preserved. When I think about the fact that my sins have been washed away, how are my sins washed away? They're washed away by the blood of the Lamb, but I'm also preserved. We're saved from all that God has in store for this wicked world. I'm thankful. When we take that cup, it represents that we're forgiven and we're preserved, we're protected. It's the greatest preservative. Amen? By His blood, we were sanctified. Oh, I love this. Check this out. We were given a new nature. When He shed His blood, we were given a new nature. Yeah, I've got fellowship. And my sins are washed away. That's what gives me fellowship with God. But because He shed His blood for me, I'm not the old Denver Ayers. I'm a new man. I'm a new creature. When I get to heaven one day, I'm going to have a new name that represents my new purpose in an eternal kingdom. And it's all possible because He shed His blood for us. Someone has wisely said, "He who fights with the precious blood of Jesus fights with a weapon which cannot know defeat." And all God's people said, "Amen." That's where it is. Because He shed His blood for us, sin dies at His presence. Death ceases to be death, and heaven's gates are opened. Yeah. But like my brother just shared, when I think about what He did, and on that cross, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He's the Alpha and the Omega. So when He was on that cross, He was thinking of me. He was thinking of Denver Ayers. Yes, He was. He was thinking of you.
Thank you.
And He allowed Himself to be pierced. And He allowed His blood to flow. That we can be here tonight and do what we're doing. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, but we thank You that You created us. And even though You knew what we would do, You sent Your Son to be the final atonement, the sacrifice for the sins of the past and the present in that moment and the future us here tonight and those that will yet be born if You tarry. Your blood wasn't just shed on the cross. It was shed from the moment that Your Son was taken. And as they put that crown of thorns on, and as they pulled that beard from His face, as they mocked Him, as they whipped Him and beat Him and spat upon Him, He was shedding His blood for us. A perfect, spotless Lamb. That by choice, by design, willingly went to the cross and took upon our sins, took all of our sins, and out of love. I think tonight, Lord, we can look at our own life and say, thank You that You allowed us to be covered and washed and preserved by Your blood. Tonight we celebrate that, God. We're thankful for it. It's beyond our comprehension to understand Your plan, and it's beyond us to understand why You would demonstrate such great love. We're so thankful. And tonight, Lord, we're just thankful for it. We're thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, we do this in remembrance of you.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.